Hello, everybody. I'm Tom Dorsey.
And I'm Ian Saunders.
And it is the 6th of May.
First Monday in May.
Cinco de Mayo was yesterday, and I didn't see any revelers or anyone out there partying.
Nothing?
No.
Not even out in Vegas where you were?
No, not even in Vegas. No, Vegas is pretty dead during the week, and then Fridays when we're ready to roll out, that's when you see people starting to come in checking. You know, so for the weekend, it's going to get wild, but during the week when we're there, it's not.
So we just finished up the institute there, right? Just getting back from that. How'd that go?
Yep. It went. It went very well. Really great people there, and it's important to have that touch point where you can actually sit down and talk with someone at length about what they do, and that's great. I mean, so when I wish we could open it up to 200 or 300 people, you know, because there's so much to be said. It was really kind of one of the things that I did a little different this time, and it might be something everyone needs to think about. And it came from Jeff Chang, who is one of the top option people in the world, and he and his partners were owned Vest Financial, which is an option ETF strategy type thing. These guys are brilliant. CBOE bought them. Bought Vest. So it's CBOE Vest now. And when he comes to town to visit clients, he always comes over and we have dinner together. And we go to the cigar lounge and we sit down and we have a couple hour conversation, which is always an interesting conversation for us to talk options and talk the business. But the last time that we did that, he sat down and we started talking about the economist who won the Nobel Prize in 2017 and what it was basically all about. And one of the things that he determined was that in the event that a person goes to a firm and they automatically put them into a 401k, if you want to opt out, you have to fill paperwork and that type of thing out. And only 30% of people do opt out. But in order for you to actually opt in, rather than them putting you into the 401k, you have to fill out paperwork and opt in, and only 30% of the people fill the paperwork out. So they went to a middle school or a small school like that of younger children, and they put out free apples. And these were a couple of big things of apples, different colored apples, and they were free for the kids. And only about 30% of the kids took the apples. Then they went back and took the apples, and they sliced them. And they put them into Ziploc bags and put them back. 70% of the kids took the Ziploc bags. The same apple, same taste.
Just flipped.
But an irrational decision. But the point is, it's important that you bag apples for people. And whenever I ask Jeff, I say, how are things going? He says, I'm just bagging apples. And in other words, what he's saying, he's doing the right thing. He's making a project so it's simple for someone to use. You don't have to get into it. You don't have to understand it that much. And that's bagging the apples. And that's one of the things that I talked about at the Institute. And it's something that advisors need to begin to think about for managing their customers' portfolios, is bagging their apples. So we had a lot more fun talking about a number of different things, like the story of telling. That's a website that I belong to. When I say belong to, I signed up for it. Bernadette Jiwa is the person who sends out these blogs once a week, and they're about managing your business and about life in general. And I'll tell you, whenever I get one of these blogs, I stop doing what I'm doing and I read it, because I know it's going to be a paragraph, that it's going to get right to the point. There's going to be a picture there that illustrates what she's talking about. But she makes me stop what I'm doing, and I read it, and then go on, and I forward it to some people. So this applies to you, and I forward it to them. So we talked about that. I took a number of her things, and we discussed some of the things, like what do you do when a person comes to you and asks you about your business? What do you tell them when they say, what do you do?
What do I do? I tell them I work... Work here in Aztec Dorsey, right?
But that doesn't tell them what you do.
It doesn't. And that can be oftentimes, I think, difficult more difficult to communicate than a lot of people realize.
It is difficult to communicate because for the longest time, let's see, let me see if I can bring something up here for the fun of it. Now that I got us on it, yeah, here we go. When people ask me, what do I do? I have no idea what to tell them. And you can start out by saying we're an investment advisory firm. Well, that's not it. Because the first thing they think of, gee, he manages money. Well, we're an investment advisory firm that advises professionals. Well, I don't really get that. You know, well, we're the coach for professional players. I don't get that, you know, and then you say, well, we do point and figure technical analysis. Well, I certainly don't get that, you know. And one of the things that, so when people ask you these things, here's with Bernadette Jiwa, which you would go to the website, thestoryoftelling.com. If I were to ask you to explain your company's value proposition, you'd probably hesitate. But if I asked you what your, I just covered half of it up, what your customer would miss if your work didn't exist, you'd likely have some thoughtful answers about why she or he needs what you do. And it might go like this. One way to begin describing the value you create is to talk about what can happen without you. Without us, fewer people can, are, feel, have, do, become blank. And when you think about that, we tell better stories when we understand how customers' lives change in the presence of our product. And when I ask clients of ours, what is it about Dorsey Wright? What have we meant to you? I get those answers. It's not that I'm a great technician now and I'm, you know, I can pick stocks and I know how to trade options and things like that. The answers always invariably come that my customers are safer financially. My customers are better off because of dealing with you. My customers have a better retirement. They are more optimistic about their financial future. Those types of things are the important thing about when someone says, what do? Those are the things that, that you do as an advisor.
That's the value add there.
That's the value, and it's, and it's not, it doesn't come into being a great technician and things of that nature. It's that your customer feels comfortable, feels optimistic, looks forward to the future. So these are the kinds that I did a number of things like that, but I just picked that one out for the fun of it. But, I would sign up with thestoryoftelling.com and get that
paragraph. I did. You mentioned it to me before, and I get those emails now as well.
Yeah, it's a cool site.
Real powerful.
So, Ian, I got off the track here.
No, but while you were out in Vegas there, it seems as though some the market was relatively kind of muted last week, but seeing a little bit different picture here this morning. Over the weekend, we're looking this morning. Most of the, as we were discussing right before clicking on the video here, most of the major U.S. indexes are in negative territory here this morning. But we were looking at some of the intraday calcs for the bullish percent readings, and they're looking largely unchanged. So, such as the, there's one has moved within 1% of a reversal down. It's a BPSPX, the bullish percent for the stocks in the S&P 500. But most of the others are unchanged, or some are actually a little bit higher, such as the BPNYSE, the bullish percent for the New York Stock Exchange, which we were talking about just a bit ago, which is at relatively normal levels if we look back historically, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's a larger index than the S&P. S&P 500 can move rapidly. So if you look, if you look at that bullish percent BPSPX, you'll see changes that it would have made, and it changed back in very short order. NYSE bullish percent doesn't. That's 2,000 stocks that would be more mid-cap type stocks or small cap, but New York Stock Exchange type small cap. These are billion-dollar companies. So I look at that, and I don't see any real damage in that. And I think about the AAII, Association of Individual Investors, and they have a number when they take the bullish, it's not a bullish percent, but what percentage of their population of subscribers are bullish about the market, and only 39% are. And you wouldn't start getting worried about the market until you hit the 70% level. When you see 70% of the people who sign up for AAII are positive and bullish and happy about the market, that's when you're at the top. 39%, they still remember December, November and December of last year, mm-hmm. when the market lost 20% from its highs. Mm-hmm. They still remember 2008. That was like 10 years ago, 11 years ago, but man, it's like yesterday, mm-hmm. what happened in that, yeah. you know? And with many advisors just say, hey, don't worry, be happy, we're gonna be fine. But it takes a long time to get back fine. When you look at these indicators now, I look at the implied momentum. That's an important one to me, and you can get that on your, what would I call this, the landing page?
On your dashboard.
Dashboard
there,
page, yeah.
Under the links of interest, you can add that as a link to click on there. So for those of you who may not know, to get to the dashboard, you can just click on the Nasdaq Dorsey Wright logo up in the upper left-hand corner of the web page, and then you can add the links of interest as a widget there.
Yeah, that's the key. Click on the logo.
Yes.
Only took me a few years to figure that out. But what you want to do is put that implied momentum in there. And what that is the most beautiful way of looking at the Standard & Poor's 500. It comes from Jim Yates, the late, great Jim Yates. And each one of those symbols that you look at under there is on its own bell curve. Mm-hmm. So they're placed strategically on their own bell curve. And when you look at the aggregate, you really see the market. And just recently, as you know, the market has been skewed to the right-hand side. In other words, think back to stat 101. You have your normal distribution, 3 standard deviations above trend, 3 standard deviations below trend. What you'll see here is zones. Zone means standard deviation because zone doesn't scare people. Mm-hmm. Standard deviation does scare people. So we call them zones. And when you look at those 6 zones, we were very skewed to the overbought side of the ledger. We've talked about that on this update. Well, and what will happen there, like in any normal distribution, it's going to find its way back to the middle, or the middle will find its way up to where you are. You're going to come back to the middle one way or another, and it has been correcting along this way. You haven't seen it because the Dow Jones and S&P have made new highs, but all along the way, it's been shifting back.
Mm-hmm.
So it's come back to not almost normal. I would say after today or next couple of days, something like today, you're going to find that this market has pulled right back to a perfectly normal condition, which is where it wants to be.
Mm-hmm. And we're seeing that too in the overbought, oversold readings for the sectors as well. In addition, we have 40 sectors that we track here on the Dorsey Wright system that we classify stocks in, and they've moved over the last couple months from the beginning of March there to last week, from an average overbought oversold of 30% right to 0.5% as of Friday there. So again, kind of that kind of reversion back to the middle that we've seen there is a consistent theme across many of the indicators.
And that's what you're going to find is, you know, we did a study one time, I think before you came.
Mm-hmm.
We began to create models back in 2002. And the first one we created was a country rotation model for iShares. And we went back on that a number of years later and looked at every trade that was made in it and said, what happened with the trade? How did it function? Well, it came out that every trade we had was normally distributed. Some things went down too much.
Mm-hmm.
Some things went up too much. 68% of the things stayed within one standard deviation above or below trend, which is what you learned in Statistics 101.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So the key to being successful here, and the key with the Dolly and the dynamic asset level investing, is when things begin to get bad and relative strength is negative,
mm-hmm.
that it gets to a point where they're cut out.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that are doing well, we let them continue doing well.
Let them continue, yeah.
That's the key right there.
Absolutely.
That's the key.
And we're seeing some of you mentioned the Dolly rankings there, seeing a little bit of rotation within those rankings. We've mentioned the big one, obviously, healthcare moved into the bottom half there over the past couple weeks, and industrials is now in the top 3. But another interesting space that I was noticing we mentioned there is financials is now back into the top half of those mm-hmm. Dolly sector rankings. And if you look at the economic indicators for the broad economic groups, financials is the more overbought out of those 10 right now.
What's an ETF financial?
So
you know a symbol?
Well, we probably wouldn't wouldn't be able to discuss any specific ETFs here.
Exactly.
But there are definitely some. If you want to look at some of the economic indicators, you can go to the asset allocation tab, go to the technical indicator report,
right.
And then you can change that from the market view and go down to the economic broad groups. We'll get you to those 10 broad groups that you can look at there. Variety of different indicators that you can look at across those groups. The overbought, oversold is going to be one of those. And it is the more overbought right now. Financials, it's only around 20%, so it's still not necessarily overbought. But it feels interesting there. We saw financials also rotate into a model, some of the models here this morning. So definitely if you follow some of the models there, on the models page, to take a look at just one place to keep an eye out for over the next couple weeks.
One more thing. You know, when I'm like Mikey in that commercial.
Mm-hmm.
Give it to Mikey, he'll eat anything. So in other words, test this out on him because he'll eat anything. Mm-hmm. We'll be able to see how good it is. You test it out on me. I've been around this business so long. If it's something that I like, it's something that's going to fly.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question about it. And what sticks in my mind as one of the most unique, useful things that we have is the portfolio section.
Mm-hmm.
And the beauty of that is being able to take groups of stocks and then put them into the portfolio and then manipulate them. What I did the other day is I went to the implied momentum, and then I went up to implied momentum query.
Mm-hmm.
And I went and I queried zone 3. So why did I take zone 3? Because these are the stocks that are in the center. I'm interested primarily in the ones that are green, where the 10-day relative strength is negative, but I took them all. I queried that, took the aggregate of those symbols, put them into a portfolio.
Mm.
Now I can manipulate the portfolio. So that one sector right there, I can create a matrix.
Mm-hmm.
So out of that sector, I can see which ones are the strongest.
Mm-hmm.
Then on our site, which is really the coolest thing in the world, I was interested in covered rights because I do a lot of those. We press the covered right button.
Mm.
Bingo. There they come down with the best covered rights.
Yeah.
And if I wanted to go into the thumbnails, I could look at the charts very quickly. There's so much that you can do once you drop the portfolio in there. And dropping the portfolio in there is simple.
Yeah.
Just about everything that you look at, if you pull up an ETF or a mutual fund or whatever, you'll have something there that says put this into a portfolio.
Mm-hmm. That little send to, utilizing the shuttle tool that we have now on the platform there. Yeah.
It is the coolest.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm Mikey. I like the portfolios. I want you to try them.
It passes your test. It passes there. Yeah. One other final point that we were touching on here with this is the first video that we have here in May, bringing us into the seasonally weak period that we have here in the market. And so with the seasonal change there, the FSM, the fund score method models on the platform are going to be evaluated here this week. So we'll be keeping an eye out for those trades. Those will be coming out there tomorrow morning. And we'll be sure to update you on those trades and have other articles around that seasonality aspect in the report this week. So definitely keep an eye out for those tomorrow morning and then future articles later this week. So.
Sounds cool.
All righty.
Let's wrap it up.
All right. Well, with that, thank you all very much for joining us here this week, and we look forward to having you back next week.